In the 1970s, a future, top-notch podcasting team was born, and then raised on military bases because their dads were in the Air Force. These Gen Xers eventually grew up and were unleashed upon the world. Today, looking forward to retirement, they survive by dishing out their opinions. If you have questions that need answers and an open mind, if you can spare 60 minutes a week, and if you have internet access, maybe you can listen to Kenyetta and Jack Save the World.
If you need it, we got it. If we don't got it, we'll get it. If we can't get it, you don't need it. But do you know what we do have? The best Lil Potpourri grassroots podcast this side of Jaleel White's internet. And don't y'all ever forget it. Listening friends, welcome back. We are thrilled that you're here to give up an hour-ish of your precious time to hang out with us and indulge us in all the weird things we want to talk about. So, hi.
Howdy. Hello.
Outbeat it, Sam.
Buenos, whatever the next one is, word in Spanish that I now can't think of.
In other words, welcome back. Thanks.
Right. Although I could say Kimanahahu, which is how are you in Scots Gaelic.
I didn't know that. I guess I've just learned that today. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I would like to put a plug in because it's on my list. I have heard that FX's updated Shogun miniseries is very good. So I remember the 1981 with good old Richard Chamberlain. Whatever happened to Richard Chamberlain anyway? He just fell off the map. But I remember that. And then when I saw The Last Samurai back in 2003, that was immediately what I thought of.
With Thomas Cruise.
Yes, Tom Cruise was not the pull in that movie.
No, but I really liked that movie.
I do too. But it was for the Japanese cast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because one of the actors in Last Samurai, he's the lead, one of the lead roles in Shogun, so.
Yeah. I always feel like Tom Cruise, I mean, there are a lot of actors that are like that. I just always feel like he's just playing a version of Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite Tom Cruise character is, what is it? Thunder, not the racing one, the one with Jack Black and, you know, gosh dang it, where they're faking the war. Where they go to, they're filming the movie, and then What's-His-Face gets kidnapped. Why can I not think of that?
I know, I see like the...
And Robert Downey Jr. is playing the black guy, you know, and the other, he's like, what do you mean, you
Tropic
people?
Thunder.
And the real black guy, yeah.
Thunder.
One black guy's like, what do you mean?
Apparently, it was Tom Cruise's idea to get the big fake hands.
Yeah.
And all the chest hair and the forearm hair. That was his idea to do all that. When I tell you, I did not know until the end of the movie that it was him. That's how well he did that.
Yeah, that's his greatest performance ever. He should have won an Oscar just for that. That was incredible.
I was like, that man actually has comedic timing. Yeah. Like it almost seems like it would be a version of Tom Cruise screaming at people.
Yeah. And then Simple Jack.
When I was a line cook down in San Antonio, what, you were never a line.
Yeah, but at least at the end, that one dude was able to, you know, be confident in his relationship with Lance Bass.
I found that heartwarming. I did. I really did. Like, so many people misunderstood that movie. They really did. I'm like, it's mocking Hollywood. Like, literally. Every single one of those main characters is some stereotype of some kind of actor. It's absolutely hilarious. Like, when the one kid, I can't even think of his name now, the skinny kid with the glasses. He's like, did y'all even read the script? What? And they looked at him like,
Yeah.
because he came up on the video conference with the production team. He said, who is the AP? And the one guy raises his hand. He's like, I want you to go over there and punch him as hard as you can in the Now I have to go find that movie and watch it again. I try to watch it at least once a year.
Yeah, that's. I will die on the hill that that's Tom Cruise's best performance.
It really is. It really is. I wasn't even thinking you were going to say that one, but it really is. I did like him also in Edge of Tomorrow, that sci-fi one.
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow is actually pretty good too. The whole where they're going back and all that junk. Apparently, they're working on a sequel to that.
Really?
Yeah.
I would love to see it. As long as it has Emily Blunt, I'll go see it.
Yeah.
But she's one of my favorites. So. Oh, they're making, they're coming out with a part three of Quiet Space too.
Oh,
Yeah,
interesting.
it's supposed to be right after the invasion or something like that. I can't remember when it takes place because it has one of the characters from part two in it. So
Interesting.
I'll most likely be going to the theaters for that one.
Right.
So, listening friends, that's our movie moment for this episode.
Yeah, completely spontaneous, unplanned. But hey, so what's your WTF for the week?
First, can I just say I hate it here? America is a hellscape. All right. So, Arizona. Public Enemy, the iconic political rap group, came out with a song sometime, I think, in the early 90s, I think. By the time I get to Arizona, remember that Arizona was one of the states that did not want to pass and officially observe Martin Luther King's birthday.
I remember that.
So by the time I get to Arizona, was Public Enemy's answer to Arizona's bullshit. They have not been wrong in the 35 years since that song came out in 91. That's when we graduated.
Yeah.
Arizona is still fucking the Arizona Supreme Court said yesterday that they want to reenact an 1864 law that pretty much prohibits all abortion with no allowances.
Yep.
This is a law that was been on the books before airplanes were invented. And you mean to tell me you think that that's appropriate to apply today in the 21st century?
Yeah. And have you heard about the guy that actually wrote or was the Speaker of the Arizona House at the time
I
that
don't
it
know
was
that.
passed?
I didn't get that far. I was still disgusted with just this.
Well, that man was 49 years old, and the next day, I guess they went out of session. What I may be getting that part of it wrong, but anyway, the next day he went and got married to a 15-year-old.
Never mind that Arizona didn't even become a state until 1912.
Yeah.
I'm totally grossed out by this. Like, anytime a state's legislative body passes a law concerning abortion, I'm thinking, oh my God, that's the worst that's been yet. And then here comes another state. Another state's like, hold my beer. Arizona just did a hold my beer
To
to
Alabama
Texas, to
and Texas,
Alabama
yeah.
and Texas. Yeah, all of them. Hold my beer. Hold my keg. Here, I got one for you. You dug up a law that's 150 years old. to apply in this day and time.
Yeah.
For what? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even know why I said for what. I know why. The law orders prosecution, quote, for a person who provides supplies or administers to a pregnant woman or procures such woman to take any medicine, drug, or substance, or uses or employs any instrument or other means whatever, with intent thereby to procure the miscarriage of such woman, unless is it necessary to save her life. That really sounds like it's the only exception.
Yep.
Is to save her life. But now it's going to scare, just like it scared other healthcare providers in other states. That's going to scare them into not wanting to do anything at all.
Yeah.
And I just
Louisiana's already getting affected because their OBGYNs are starting to move to other states because they also have an incredibly restrictive abortion law that went into effect recently, and OBGYNs are leaving the state. So that affects all women's health.
I just recently saw a Biden campaign ad, not for a PAC, Biden's actual campaign, where it's about a couple who the wife was pregnant. She got to 18 weeks and unfortunately she miscarried and she went to the hospital and they didn't do anything for her and they sent her home. And 3 days later, she was back because she had sepsis.
Yep.
Like, this is going to become more and more commonplace the more states restrict this right. Healthcare providers are going to be so paralyzed with fear over being arrested or prosecuted that they're going to do more and more of this stuff, and women will not get the attention they need. Because she had miscarried, that would require at the stage that she would add was at, she would have required a DNC, a dilation and cooterage.
Right.
That's common practice for a miscarriage. That's yeah. not an abortion because the body already spontaneously aborted it. This is just what happens in the aftermath. And it's important that that gets done. And they were apparently the healthcare providers were so caught up in not getting in trouble that they did nothing for her. And she damn near died.
Yeah. You know, because let's just keep that dead baby inside of you that your body miscarried. You know, you're already undergoing quite the emotional, I don't even term, I mean, horrible emotions going through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it was, you know, well, I mean, in all cases, but if you're somebody who had, say, been trying for years to have a baby and you miscarried,
yeah,
then it's even harder on you.
Mm-hmm.
But then to be forced to keep the corpse inside of you, mm-hmm. let's just add that trauma onto everything.
Mm. And then, as though this news couldn't be made any worse, the little leader, when they asked him about it somewhere randomly later on in the day on Tuesday, said the Republicans, quote, need to straighten it out because it's going to affect something. Never mind that he literally just said last week he's not, when he makes it back in office, he's not going to instate a federal ban on abortion because he believes it's up to the states. Well, the state just decided. And now you're turning around and saying, oh, that doesn't sound good. They need to fix that. Well, which one is it?
Yeah, and then bragging that you're the one that got rid of Roe versus Wade. The dude literally said every single person involved in the law said that that was a bad law. Really? Every single one? Really, Donald? No, that's not the case. Republicans, maybe, but not anyone else.
And you mean to tell me people don't think this man is not mentally deficient?
Right?
This is not even a joke anymore. You cannot say that this man is actually thinking coherently. No. Yeah.
I don't. And then he said in a speech that he's like some sort of speech or something. He was all, you know, Biden took a crap on the desk in the Oval Office. What?
And why would you bring, we all know that didn't happen, but even why would you bring up something like that? Are you jealous? Did you try it? It didn't, what it?
Well, if anyone's ever taken a dump in the Oval Office, it's him because the man wears the pins because he's incontinent.
Like I said, I honestly, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, Lord knows. But it honestly feels like a lot of media outlets are in some kind of collective conspiracy against Biden because they keep over-exaggerating his physicality. When you look at this dude, that flaming dumpster fire, like, are you joking me? You think that's a prime example of older gentleman health? What? Please.
Yeah, it's like you cannot treat the... I get wanting to not appear biased, but this is not a normal election. It is literally a man who has admitted that he wants to be a dictator, who tried to steal, who attempted to commit a coup in the past, is a sexual assaulter, not a rapist, because in New York it's different, but he is a convicted sexual assaulter. Well, not convicted, adjudicated, I guess is the appropriate term. Mm. You know, stole classified documents, more than likely gave that information to someone else. And they're just treating it as if it's a normal campaign. You can't do that with that man. Every time he says something, they need to start out with known liar. And then when he's done, they need to go, this is the truth of what the actual thing is. He says the lie and nobody ever corrects him after. I could see maybe not correcting him in the moment, you know, if he's standing out and yelling or whatever. But as soon as they switch back, it needs to be, this is the truth. He's lying about this again. And even though I know that the maggots only listen to Fox or OAN or Newsmax, eventually that shit will get out that he's lying. And all you got to do really is swing about 5% of those people and he's gone. Mm. You know, and like related to that, did you see that in her defamation lawsuit that was against her with Carrie Lake, because she was doing all the election stolen BS and the guy sued her for defamation, mm-hmm. that last week she agreed to let it, she admitted that she was lying about all of the stuff that she was saying so that it could go into default for summary judgment.
Oh, shocking.
Why didn't that make big news and big headlines?
That's the whole thing. Then you're right. News media outlets that claim to be unbiased are not screaming from the top of the Himalayas about this bullshit.
Right.
You're right. They're treating it like this is just another day.
Right. This isn't, you know, McCain versus Obama type election or, you know, Reagan Mondale.
This is not about hanging chads in Florida. This is way past that now.
This is having a country versus having a dictatorship is what this is about. And the other thing, media, do you honestly think that if Trump gets elected again, that you're going to be around? He's already said that there needs to be a law that media members can be arrested. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he's actually going to need a law for that? No. There are literally two members of the J6 committee that have said that they're making plans that if Trump gets elected again, that they are already preparing for their disappearance. And General Milley has already told people that he's fully expecting if Trump gets elected for him to be disappeared and tried for treason and killed.
He said, just so y'all know, he did it.
Yeah.
Like, and then you've got any time, because you know how I love spending time in the socials. Anytime I bring up this fact about how you're literally watching a political party meltdown and people acting like it's just a normal fact of life, what's been happening in the past year, no one's screaming about this. And people come back and say, oh, you're just fear mongering. What in the entire fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Did you see that France is upping its military production and stuff like budget and production of vehicles and bullets and all of that junk? Because they fully 100% believe that if Trump gets elected again, that it's only a matter of time before Russia just tries to take over Europe.
Mm-hmm. I believe it. But I absolutely believe it. And I'm tired of hearing the argument about I'm not voting for Biden because he's a warmonger and he supports genocide. First of all, none of that is true.
Second of all, if you support Russia, you support genocide.
And third of all, you really can't think that that little leader is going to do any better if he makes it back in there. He will absolutely make it worse.
Right? You kick, if he takes the U.S. out of NATO, World War III will be starting within a year. Because Russia's going to do whatever the hell it wants. Then you're also sending a signal to China, hey, go ahead, take over Taiwan. And who knows what the hell North Korea is going to do. But anyway, yeah, fun times.
South Korea doesn't even know what North Korea is doing.
Right. But yeah, all because, you know, and this Arizona thing is just part of it. That's just one of the things that we're going to have to deal with. And this type of stuff, it's going to take years to recuperate from.
I'm sick about it. I really am.
Yeah, no, like, I am too.
And again, it may sound conspiracy theorist, but I don't care. There's way too many moving parts for you, for rational people not to see the big picture here.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buckle down. I don't know. I might have to get I have to get my prepper kit together because they not fucking with me. Let me go get my my license and get some lessons because they not.
Yeah.
Well, All right.
I'm going to jump into my WTF because it is related because it's about the same orange fat bastard.
Yes.
It takes a particular type of gall to have been you, your children, and your company to have been found of committing fraud of various different, you know, business type frauds and practices, and to get this giant thing that you have to, you know, fine. But in the state of New York, you have to put the amount of the fine in a bond so that while you appeal, so that if you lose the appeal, you know, hey, the money's already here and you didn't magically lose the money over the last 4 years or whatever. Well, of course, he sues. They lower it. I don't know how this man gets people to do shit like that for him. But it turns out the company that he got to pay his bond of $175 million, it's a fraudulent bond. So normally the way the bond, you know, it's like when you're arrested and you go, you know, you pay, what is it, like 10% of the amount. You put that amount down and then the bond company pays the rest. Right. Well, when you're dealing with that amount of money, you know, it's not like, you know, Billy Bob's bond agency is going to do that. And it takes certain, you know, people to do that. And so this company that's doing it, which, by the way, the guy that's doing it is America's biggest subprime auto loan lender. That's how he made his money. Mm. So they went and fill out their paperwork, turned it all in. Uh-oh, they didn't sign a few documents. Well, that's not something that they do. They've never done it in New York. So the court was like, hey, you need to fix these things. You have whatever amount of time. So that happens. Well, the bonding company then has to turn in financials. And it turns out they don't have $175 million that they could put up to support the bond. And then it turns out that they're not even liable for it. The way it is in the contract is Trump's liable for it. So why didn't he just pay them? It's really weird, but basically fraud was committed to pay the bond for fraud.
I okay, I'm laughing because I'm trying not to scream. How? I'll back up two steps. Whoever, because I have a feeling whoever this company is that supposedly put this bond up, I'm gonna say it's like a shell company, and there's somebody behind somebody behind somebody behind somebody behind Russia that's putting up the money for this.
Well, the guy that owns this company, Trump has a lot of friends with weird names. You know, the guy that his friend from the Inquirer's last name is Pecker. This guy's last name is Hanky, which totally tracks, right? And apparently he is very, very wealthy, just not with the assets that they're claiming. And I'm just like, you're really going to pay a bond with the court for that amount of money? And you don't think they're going to, I don't know, do a slight check to see if maybe you actually have the $175 million, maybe?
I mean, because that's about as straightforward as you can get. Either whoever's putting up the bond for you, either they have the liquid assets or they don't. And if they don't, it should be revoked.
Right. Which is what AG James has filed a motion with the court that this is fraud. It should be revoked and we should be able to start taking his buildings.
I know there's somebody sitting right now outside of Trump Tower. Just give us the word.
Spirit Halloween. Spirit Halloween. They're ready for it. You know, but that's like, I know this can happen because it has legitimately happened to me. I once had a flat tire, went to put the spare on, and the spare was flat. And I was like, mother. But in Trump's case, they're like, oh, wow, this spare, you know, this tire's flat. Let's go put the spare on. And they're like, oh, the spare's flat. Yeah, let's put it on anyway. It's less flat than the other one. But yeah.
I understand that the country as a whole, especially those in power or in completely unprecedented waters with this whole situation. That doesn't mean that everyone gets to sit around and do absolutely jack all.
Yeah.
The fact that he's still out here giving speeches, the fact that he's just able to go about his life, period. He's giving speeches. He's talking smack. He's threatening people.
Yeah. Nothing. I can assure you that if Barack Obama had, what was it, 115 boxes or whatever of classified documents, he would not be roaming about the country right now.
But somehow, because no one, I don't know if it's that no one knows how to handle it or no one knows who should be handling it, or probably a combination of both, or what exactly are they supposed to do? They're walking around because they have no guidelines in place as to how to handle this. And so basically, he's literally like a stray dog just walking around the neighborhood pissing on everything.
Yeah.
Well, because everybody that tries to approach him and put the thing on him and put him in the truck, something happens. He barks at him. Or maybe he just has rabies. They don't want to get close to him and get hurt. So they just let him go.
Yeah. Or you treat him like every other single member of the United States government that has ever had classified documents that you're not supposed to have. When it's discovered, you get arrested and you sit in a jail cell because you don't get bond on those situations.
But somehow he did.
But yet, and that, you know, when you hear people are like, Donald Trump's getting treated differently than other Americans would. Yeah, he is. Just not the way you freaking idiots realize. And then you hear all these people, well, this fraud thing was a victimless crime. What's the second part of those two words that you just said? What? Oh, that's right. Crime. Still a crime.
Still a crime.
But yeah.
So
that was it. Just WTFing with that.
I just, every day that some stuff happens, I just sit, I can't believe the capacity that I have for just not giving a fuck anymore. Because something always is happening. And it's like, as low as it gets, and you're, again, something even lower happens. It's like, hold my beer.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, and also, did you see that the, well, I mean, today's going to be kind of a Trump-heavy episode, but one of the Republican whatevers, I don't know what it is, on the day of the, after the eclipse, they posted a special picture where somebody had photoshopped out the moon and put in a silhouette of DJT. And, you know, this is fitting because this really, I'm just going to segue into what I was going to talk about, because we've been talking for years that the MAGA movement is really just a cult. Mm-hmm. And the way they treat him, he's just an orange Jim Jones. And the one of the things that has amazed me this entire time with him is how the evangelical movement have embraced Trump, but not just embraced Trump, like third tier Trumped, you know what I mean? And that's obviously why we say the cult. I could see maybe people that haven't been preaching a certain, you know, type of Christianity, and then they embrace a guy that is the complete opposite of everything you grew up with, right? I was raised by an incredibly evangelical mother. And it was so weird for me, for my mom to like Donald Trump. And I'm like, the man is literally the opposite of everything that you pumped into my brain growing up. How is this happening? And it's not just her, obviously. Well, wasn't her.
I read a meme not too long ago that said, Christians have been warning everybody about the coming of the Antichrist. And when he gets here, they buy Bibles from him.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the only Bible endorsed by me. He literally, I shit you not, he put out a tweet that said, this week we celebrate, like, something along the lines of Christ rising from the tomb. And just like him, I rose again this week.
Gross.
I'm like, what? How are you people? I mean, the man now is just embracing it. But anyway, that leads me to the subject of today's show.
I'm sorry, let me get it. That's gross. I had to get that in there. Okay.
No, you're probably going to be saying that a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, what you're probably going to be saying is that's effing gross a lot. So okay. Here we go.
Let me get my bingo card.
The Reverend Shane Vaughn. I actually think this will come in down the road. I actually think that his first name may be John, and he started going by Shane later. Shane, I believe, is probably his middle name. But anyway, Shane Vaughn was called by his creator at a young 12-year-old boy to preach the gospel. This was off his church's website, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to pay somebody who knows how to, you know, proofread. He has founded and now is chancellor of Biblical Foundations Institute, as well as director of First Harvest Church and Ministries. But the ministries part isn't capitalized, even though it should be when it's a title like that. He currently hosts the weekly telecast Zion's Call, and is the author of 9 published books and numerous booklets and articles. Oh, the funny thing too, director, the R is missing off there. That was another. So we're already at 2. And then he currently holds his earned doctorate degree from World Vision University, with university not capitalized as it should be, in Dallas, Texas.
This is so gross already.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. It gets better. But his nickname, and then one of his YouTube shows, is called, he's called Professor Toto. Not because he likes the band.
Dorothy?
Yes, because he's trying. I don't know if it's he's trying to get us to go back to Kansas because we're in Oz.
Have you ever heard that phrase, friend of Dorothy?
Mm-mm. No.
Let me look up exactly how it's defined.
Well, While you're looking that up, I'm going to keep going here. Sure. So between his various social medias, he has around 30K followers, which in the grand scheme of things is not a lot. However, this man also gets retweeted, reposted, you know, shared, all of that junk. So while he may only have that, his actual reach is more in the, you know, 200K amount. Once again, not huge, but that affects the viewpoint of all of these other MAGA, Trumper, QAnon folks. So that's, you know, why he's kind of he's an important thing that the common American probably has never heard of. So did you find what a friend of Dorothy meant?
It is a euphemism for a gay man. Oh. Asking if someone is a friend of Dorothy is a sideways way of suggesting sexual orientation while avoiding hostility. The term was likely based on the character Dorothy Gale of the Oz series of novels. We know it.
Well, and for the longest time, the gay community, they were big Judy Garland stans.
That's it. They actually, the first time I heard that was in Clueless.
Okay, yeah.
Because they were talking about old girl's Cher's new male friend. She was like, she couldn't figure out why he wasn't coming on to her. And then Dion's boyfriend was like, he's a friend of Dorothy. She's like, what? Yeah, I don't know why my mind went straight to that, but I have a feeling it might be relevant later on. Proceed.
Okay, so Reverend Vaughn has some very odd beliefs. One of them is that Jews are not, in his mind, originally there were Israelites, and Jews were the tribe of Judah, because after Israel split into the northern country, Israel, and the southern one, Judah, or Judea, however you wanted to look at it, and then the Assyrians came, and the northern tribe was hauled off, northern kingdom Israel was hauled off, and they disappeared, and all that was left was the lower kingdom, which just had the two tribes left and then some of the priesthood. And that's where those are Jews, but they're not Israelites, right? So then his next part of this belief is that some of the Israelites escaped the Assyrians. And then as they went north, they broke off, kept going, and then hooked a left at the Black Sea, traveled all the way through Europe, went to England, and then became the founding fathers. Obviously, there were several thousand, you know, there were several thousand years in between that. Now, I have no idea where the proof for any of this is, other than he must have been straining really hard on the toilet one day, and that popped in his wee little mind.
Oh, my.
So now that I've set that up.
Oh, I'm crying.
Let me read this to you. Vaughn says that before the founders landed on our shores, they wrote down a chorus that went, "We are going to New Israel." He says that when they came off the ship, they didn't plant an American flag. Well, no shit, Sherlock. It didn't exist yet for another, you know, 300 years or whatever the amount was. There was no American flag. Probably why they didn't plant one. But they planted a Christian flag. Also didn't exist at the time. But, you know, hey. And then...
There's an official Christian flag?
Yeah. You clearly didn't go to church enough.
Where have I been?
Yeah. Hey, they had one on the First Southern.
Did they?
Yes.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. So anyway, then he continuing to make stuff up, because I thought lying was something you're not supposed to do. So then, and then George Washington knelt and prayed near his horse where the Twin Towers used to stand and dedicated America to God. At that point, God broke his covenant with the Jews and engaged in a new covenant with America. And our founding fathers were all descended from the 12 tribes of Israel. None of that is true. None of it. Not one bit of it. It is a fractured fairy tale version that maybe he was on acid or something when he came up with that. I have no idea. Now, there is a painting of George Washington kneeling, you know, next to his horse while he's praying. But that was just something that the artist did. It was not based on anything historical. But this man, we've already built that he's not very truthful, has a new religion almost. And part of his new saying is that Donald Trump is the new Messiah, that he is the Son of Man. Yeah. Vaughn has stated that Trump's current plan is to endorse, this was for the 2022 election, this is before that election, was to endorse and fund candidates running for the secretaries of states in battleground states. What? Quote, why? He is ensuring that on his next run, his secretaries are in place in the states. He's putting his secretaries in there because they are the ones that handle the counting of the election. The man is just brilliant, and people don't even see what he's doing. They don't know what he's doing. The man had it figured out before you even knew there was a problem. And then he asserted that Trump was so brilliant that he actually moved out of the way for 4 years so that the Bidens would bear the curse of their plans and with COVID and everything else. So when discussing why Trump was no longer in office, he said, losing and having something stolen are two totally separate things. God allowed him to be moved temporarily to expose this and come back and be able to fix this mess. It's going to be phenomenal.
Hell no.
And then he also says that Trump will come back to fix the damage in 2024, and then his successor will run and then serve two terms as president for 12 years straight of Trumpism to fix this nation.
Oh, so it's okay for 12 years of Trumpism, but as you know, Trump has claimed repeatedly that this is Obama's third term. I'm sorry, what's the difference?
Right.
Oh, by the way, I have seen the Christian flag before. I am
okay. Well, it clearly left a mark. So now let us fast forward to when they kicked out Speaker McCarthy as Speaker of the House, the Republicans, and he had some thoughts on this. And one of his thoughts was he prophesied on his show that Jim Jordan was going to be the next Speaker of the House, that God had told him this. So he was called out on that. And so his response is, and this is shared to X and it's on video, that he was right because Mike Jordan is a duplicate and protege of, Mike Johnson is a protege of Jim Jordan and is a duplicate of him. And the difference is that more people hate Jim Jordan. And so God put in his duplicate in Mike Johnson to be the speaker.
What?
Yeah, I have made Kenyatta speechless twice in 3 weeks.
Wait. So is he trying to say that the first edition was defective, so they put another one that looked just like him, but it was better? Was it McCarthy supposed to be the first edition iPhone, and then all the bugs got worked out?
So Jim Jordan was going to be the speaker, but he wasn't. But his protege was in. So it's the same thing. So I wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
Both of their last names start with J. So, I mean, I was practically and have O's in them.
That's like asking a psychic, you know, the psychic tells you somebody from your past is reaching out to you. And he said, who is it? It starts with a J. I don't know what G. It starts with a G.
Yeah, it's someone you loved that died. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Good. So,
God Almighty. No pun.
Yeah.
No pun intended whatsoever.
Well, we're about to hear this man talk about God, and I am going to tell you now, and I don't mean this to be mean. The Reverend Shane has a very interesting lisp.
Oh, my God.
And I would like to say these first three or four clips I got courtesy of Owen. Dang it, now my brain is completely... It'll pop. Hang on. Owen Morgan, he has a YouTube channel and he exposes a lot of various reverends and stuff like that. So this is, here's some Reverend Shane.
What is the prophetic seal that Yahweh placed upon Donald Trump and upon his true people? It is supernatural prosperity and blessings. That's the prophetic seal. Donald Trump carries the prophetic seal of the calling of God. He is Joseph. If you are anointed by Yahweh for a specific plan and purpose, you are a Messiah. Yeshua was the Messiah of mankind, but Donald Trump is the Messiah of America.
Thoughts?
First of all, why is he screaming?
That's his gimmick.
Second of all, where is his chin?
It'll be there eventually. It's just sort of, Owen blocked it with the thing.
Oh, no. In the other clip, you could see what alluded to be, you know, the bottom half of a face. But it seemed like it just all blended into his thick neck.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm breaking my first rule of attacking somebody's looks, but I can't help it. That's what struck me immediately. He just looks out of sorts. He's like put together wrong. His hairline is damn near in his eyebrows. What's going on?
But wait, there's more.
I don't want it.
Too bad.
There is no MAGA without Donald Trump. It infuriates me to the core to see disloyalty. When you separate the man from a message, all of a sudden the message will die because the anointing is on the man. Donald Trump is the leader of the MAGA movement. You don't separate MAGA from the man that created it. You understand that? And to do so proves your character. Listen, when you do not support the man that God has ordained for the job, you are a Judas.
I did it again, y'all.
You just go ahead and give me my 30 pieces of silver right now, because there's no way I'm endorsing that.
I don't even need the 30 pieces of silver. I'll do it for free. Hell, I might give you $5 to do it.
Like, please, I'll pay you $10. Please let me curse him.
Yeah.
That is, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like he has ill-fitting fake teeth or bad veneers. Like, he sounds like something's impeding his speech. It's not just the lisp. It sounds like there's...
Yeah.
Yeah. And then him screaming doesn't help.
Yeah. All right. Wait till you hear this beaut.
No.
You must stand with Donald Trump. You must know he's not just a man. He's God's man.
He's practically crying as he's saying this, if you could see the video.
I see.
I mean, you see it, but I was telling the listeners that he's practically crying here.
He is your man. He's your children's man. He's your grandchildren's man. Yes, he's just a man. But remember what I told you about the demons of Davos, how they look for a body to use in the earthly realm. So does God, Yahweh. He is spirit. If he's going to do his will on the earth as it is in heaven, he must have a man. And when you rebel against that man, when you stand against that man, you have stood against the God that anointed that man, the God that appointed that man, the God that chose that man.
First of all, if you're the God and you created everything, you don't need a man. If you want to enact change, just, you know, think it. Unlike Trump, that could declassify things by thinking it, God could just think it and the change would occur, right? I mean, isn't that part of being God?
I would have thought so.
I will say, though, at least he was smart and he didn't say that he was your mama's man.
That is not anybody's man. Like the way he said, the way he said it, that's your man. I'm like,
yeah,
wait.
He's not even Melania's man.
Thank you.
All right. Gotta keep going.
Okay.
You are the 12 disciples that God has called to stand behind Donald Trump. And if Satan can get you tired, Donald Trump loses. Because he cannot do this without you. And they know that.
So, while that may have sound like, you know, one episode of his show, that was four different shows over like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, no, I noticed the change in outfit. Yeah.
Well, I was telling the listeners.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Same haircut, though.
Yes, I don't think it's changed at all. So the next bit is the next two clips come from Jesse Dollimore, who is a YouTube commenter on politics and all of that. But this is actually him from the pulpit. Okay. The other bit was Shane's YouTube channel. This is actually him preaching from the pulpit. So this is.
Make America great again. I need a prophet that'll say what I say about America. God found a man. He sought for a man. That's why for 9 years they tried to destroy him with Russia, Russia, Russia. They tried to destroy him with every lie they could, and everything they throw comes right back at him. Because when God finds a man, God anoints a man. And when God anoints a man, he appoints a man. And when God appoints a man, he protects a man from the plans of the enemy. God spoke to me yesterday. The minute I heard the news, he said, if you don't get your feet on the ground where he's going to walk, I'll take my blessings off of you. He said, I've called you to lift your voice and tell my people who my man is, to stand behind him, to fight for him. This is war. Call me a Trump worshiper all you want to. But I know what came from my Trump worship, the blessings of the Lord. When you put your hand to the anointing will put its hand to you.
Where's this guy from again?
His church is in Mississippi.
Oh, thank you. That explains
but
everything.
He is originally from Louisiana.
Same thing. Because he sounds exactly like Deep South Black Baptist preachers.
Well,
right down to that, his cadence where says something and then he takes a breath and says something and takes a breath. I don't want to watch a whole sermon of his, but I'm going to take a wild guess and say he starts off probably pretty mellow and even toned, and then he ramps up, and by the end he's all over the place, arms flailing. I'm betting This is exactly what Black Baptist preachers look like. Exactly.
Well, and you could see on that particular footage, the arms raising of the people there and people going ape shit over it. And the way he moves his non-microphone holding arm also was in the cadence, you know, that same cadence and everything.
Yep.
And so we've established, I think, fairly well that this man loves him some Donald Trump. I mean, he did say that he's cool with you calling him a worshiper of Donald Trump. So we've established that. And I feel it's important once again, because this is a man with, even though his number of reach technically that are just his are not that high. The people that he reaches spread it, talk about it, say the same things, and it's all part of that cult. And then it reinforces that cult. So if you're somebody who maybe sort of leans a little bit in that direction, and then you hear somebody who's like that, especially, you know, it could be convincing, right? So that's why I feel that you know, it's important. But
it would only be convincing if I thought that way to begin with.
Well, yeah, if you're leaning that direction, right, it's convincing.
But when you really listen to it, like, that's why I had to not look at it, the video. I just had to listen to him. He's spectacle. Like, yeah, you know, what I was saying with his preaching style and his physicality and how he's up there at the front of the church and he comes from behind the pulpit. He gets down there and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he's spitting and he's sweating. He's swearing and this, that, and the third. That's all spectacle, because if you listen to what he's saying, it's all circular bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. All right, now I've saved the best for last, and by best I mean the actual worst for last.
This is gonna piss me off, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, okay. It is. He had some thoughts after some things went before the Supreme Court, and there were questions. You know, justices, as something's being argued before them, they ask questions and all of that stuff. And Justice Jackson, who we've talked about previously on the show and how happy and thrilled we were that she, you know, she became a Supreme Court justice. So here are some thoughts on her after this particular argument before the Supreme Court. After what he says, I'm going to read what she said that set him off on this. Mm.
See, the problem is Jumanji Jungle, Judge Jumanji Jungle lips. The problem with it is this, yeah, because what's coming out of her lips is monkey sense, not common sense. It's jungle monkey sense pouring out of your liberal lips, and you are a curse to this nation. You are a rodent in our republic. Your mindset is messed up. It is the enemy of the people. Disrobe yourself, because you have dishonored yourself. There's Jumanji. There's Judge Jumanji Jungle, monkey lips pouring out monkey mess in the Republic. Ho, ho, ho. Here's your quote. There's your quote. There's your stupidity on display.
All right. Here's what she asked the guy who was doing the argument before the Supreme Court, okay? This is what set him off. Your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. Some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying the government can't interact with the source of these problems.
He doesn't even understand what she said.
No. But it was pretty clear what he was saying.
Oh, no. Nobody can mistake that for anything. That was some...
You know, woo! Going back to our generation saying, Helen Keller would have not missed out on that.
The fact that not enough people are calling people like him out that are literally bastardizing the word to endorse one of the most foul human beings to have ever crossed this country's collective consciousness is gross. Did I say that already? I've said it so. He's gross. Like, his whole presence, physically and spiritually and mentally, is gross. He is useless. He's utterly useless. And what's worse is there are people that attend his church every week and put money in his coffers.
Yep.
So that's why he keeps doing what he's doing.
And people share what, you know, his videos and his tweets, and which just gets him, you know, more influence, whether people realize they're giving him influence or not.
Those videos are on his website, yes?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, if they're on YouTube or something.
Oh, they are. Yeah, you can. His church has a YouTube channel.
That's what is fucking it first, ridiculous.
What is it? Here, let me pull it back. Go up here. First Harvest Church and Ministries, which is in Waveland, Mississippi.
Waveland, Mississippi. Here's Waveland. But there's so many small towns in that joint.
Now, remember earlier how I said that I believe that his first name is actually John and that Shane's his middle name?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe the reason why he goes by Shane now and not John is because this is from WAFB, which is in Louisiana, from February 3rd, 2010. The title of this article is Preacher/Insurance Agent Faces Fraud Charges. A South Louisiana preacher was slapped with $100,000 in fines on top of a slew of criminal charges. John Vaughn, and it's him, go look it up, this article, it is him. There are pictures of his mugshots. Three of them, to be as a matter of fact. John Vaughn, who acted as an insurance agent, recently had his license yanked after allegedly stealing thousands of dollars. Police describe Vaughn as a chameleon, changing his look and name repeatedly. The 37-year-old is accused of stealing a 2-year-old's identity to defraud a life insurance company. He is accused of swiping $20,000 from an annuity he sold to a person that didn't even exist. It took months for the insurance commissioner at the time, Jen Dondalon's office, to pin Vaughn down and issue him the cease and desist orders. And he had two licenses under two separate names. "We have shut down his operation," Dondalon said. "It does anger you when folks take advantage of a profession and the trust that comes with it." Vaughn was also charged with bank fraud, issuing worthless checks, and felony theft. Currently, he is being held in the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison on a $25,000 bond.
And how long ago was this?
This was February 3rd, 2010. But then it also says that he had been booked on similar charges in other parts of the state, including Livingston and Jefferson parishes.
Okay, then that makes all the sense in the world. He's a con man.
Well, yeah, clearly he's a con man.
I mean, of course, I didn't think that he actually believed in the word in any way whatsoever. But yeah, this is a whole con. This is like Steve Martin in, what's that movie where he plays the traveling preacher? Con man. I love that movie, but that's what it sounds like. He sounds like a 110% less entertaining version of that character,
right?
Like, oh gosh, that's just,
yeah, no, he definitely saw an opportunity with Trump,
yeah,
to jump on that train to make money and to garner influence. And I know that most of people don't understand that. You may not think that he has influence, but he has influence. Just like when we talked about John MacArthur a couple weeks ago, the average person may not know who these people are, but what they put out there gets shared, it gets spread to the point to where you don't even know who originally said it. And that's the power and influence he's looking for.
And let me just back up to probably the most obvious thing. Did we all miss the part where Trump was ordained? I mean, apparently. He was. Because that would have been a big deal, right?
You would think.
You would think he would have came out and said that. Like, he heard the word. He was called. Because that's usually how it happens. He was called. He received the calling.
Right. Well, I mean, he did rise again a couple weeks ago.
Gross.
But yeah.
That's how I've heard it worked. When someone who's, if it comes from God's lips to your ears, it's supposed to come to your ears first. Why is he telling everybody else and not the person that's been ordained? What, did we miss that part?
Yeah.
Huh. And then all the trash dumpster does is lean into all this BS and sells cheap ass $60 Bibles.
Right.
Good God Almighty.
But yeah, that is a man who obviously is spreading hate. And I do find it funny that somebody that has an impact, you have to have, well, I guess that's not true. Unless you're, if you're not a Republican, you have to have an amazing record to become a member of the Supreme Court. Right?
Like you would think, but
Versus somebody
somehow she's the stupid one.
yeah, she's the bad person here, Mr. arrested for fraud and slapped with all these fines. Now, to be fair, by the time I was doing all of this, I was just so fed up with this man because I had to go and do some editing. So I heard this man say this shit repeatedly. I just did not have it in me to go and find out if he served any jail time or anything like that for the fraud or any of that junk. Now, the fine came from the insurance commission, so he would have had to have paid that anyway. But I don't know what, if he served anything or any, from these particular charges, because I had just had my fill of Shane Vaughn at that point, and I just did not want to Google his name again.
No, I don't blame you because I mean, I don't know if there's enough. I don't think I have enough room to describe how hideous this guy is in every way fathomable. Wee, like, and YouTube is supposed to have guidelines.
Yeah,
And
how is he still on there?
This chinless sack of shit is slinging racial slurs left and right, and they still let him on there?
Yeah, did you go and look up his YouTube channel while we
No.
were listening to that? Yeah,
I mean, I
well,
saw it up there. I didn't look,
yeah,
but
no,
I
don't.
saw the
It's just
page.
all the same shit. And I had started, and then I was like, no, wait a minute. I think I know two YouTube channels where I can save myself from having to go and watch hours and hours of his crap because I knew what I wanted and I knew that those two guys had it. So thank you, Owen Morgan and Jesse Dollimore, for doing some pre-work for me.
I'm glad they did too, but I feel bad that they took one for the team, really. And I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot, that is a lot of cow shit to wade through just to get to more cow shit.
To quote Dr. Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park, that's one big pile of shit.
That's one big pilot. And like I said, it's not just these people that are the problem, is the people that support them, because they're gonna keep, if they keep getting encouraged to do this stuff, they're gonna keep doing it. That goes for Trump, that goes for the rest of his little maggots, that goes for all the rest of those extremist Republicans that really are maggots, but they just don't like the term.
Right.
Any of that, as long as someone keeps entertaining them and voting them or tithing them or whatever else looks like support, they're gonna keep spewing it.
Yeah. And,
Ugh, God.
not that it changes somebody, but you have, there's no encouragement to not do it, right?
Right.
And I'm not saying that. A racist is a racist, whether you're saying it out loud or not. And a part of me is like, I like knowing that somebody is a racist ahead of time.
Yeah. Because I don't have to guess. I know exactly who you are from jump.
But on the other hand, maybe somebody, because it could be a slow burn. And so you take somebody that isn't, but you slow burn them over listening to this shit over the course of 5 years, and now They're also wearing the white robes.
Like the stuff that gets normalized in the name of religion is gross.
Yeah.
Even though I believe, I know that the Bible is full of extremely problematic stuff.
Right.
And people take that extremely problematic stuff and make it worse.
Yeah.
How's that possible? I do not know, but they manage. You're literally crowning, he's literally crowning one of the worst excuses for a human being as the chosen one.
Yeah.
I would take right? Neo. I'll take Neo before I take that guy.
I'm going to end with this particular note. So because of his stuff being on the old interwebs, apparently he received a whole bunch of complaints to the IRS because his church as a registered 501c3 nonprofit is not allowed to endorse candidates from the pulpit. And as somebody who is the chairman of the board of a 501c3, when you get your approval, there's a long list of things that it says your charity cannot do, or you will lose your 501c3 status. Mm-hmm. So apparently he got a bunch of complaints to the IRS, and he got a letter telling him that he needed to stop endorsing candidates from the pulpit. But then he was mad because it's the liberal elite, the deep state, they're coming after me and persecuting me because of my religious beliefs. No, that's not it. Didn't that fellow you were calling Yeshua say, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's? And if Caesar says that you, so that you don't have to give Caesar anything, you can't talk about politics from the pulpit?
Oops.
But, there we go. The Reverend Shane Vaughn.
By the way, Waveland, Mississippi is now in the Biloxi area on the Gulf.
Yeah.
So the Gulf Coast down there is very, very pretty.
Yeah. Based on his appearance, we can only hope that when he's at the beach at Biloxi that he's not disrobing. Couldn't
he's
help it.
Like, he's just like a great beached whale. Like, you could tell he was near the end of his sermon how ramped up he was because he could not catch his breath.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, if he had a mustache, there's only about 3 inches between the top of his mustache and his hairline.
I thought you were going to say his chest.
No, his hairline.
That also would be true.
Because his hairline starts about a half inch above his eyebrows. So.
It really does. It's right in there. It's right in there. Like, it's right there, kissing his eyebrows on the sides, that close.
He's got some, he has a nice thick head of hair. He should donate some to his savior.
Indeed.
Because that man's hair is pretty thin.
I'm sure. And I'm curious. I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to dig around for this, but I'm curious if he's donated any money to Trump's campaign.
I don't know. Because Trump would sure take his 30 pieces of silver.
Oh, yeah.
He'd probably prefer that over the 30 strands of hair.
And he's probably telling his congregation, you're not just giving it to church, you're giving it to the Messiah. And then he turns around and puts that money into stocks and bonds and his beach house.
His lawyer's fees.
Correct. Oh boy, this is a hell of a long con. Long con. Oh my gosh, he is trash. Professor Toto?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Friggin'. Oh my god. All right. I've had enough. I'm gonna take a shower because I feel gross.
You probably feel pretty dirty after that.
I do. So nasty. So I just feel like he was spitting on me during that sermon.
Yeah. You're definitely. I have a feeling that it's gonna be. You're gonna completely go past shower beer and go straight into shower whiskey sour.
I'll take it into the shower, just put it on the shelf, and just sit there and think about my life. Just
right. Sterilize your inside as you're cleaning your outside.
Something, because I'm I'm ashamed to be sharing a planet with people like this. There's nothing I can do about it, but damn. Ugh.
Yeah. But you know, you don't have to be ashamed if you help us out at buymeacoffee.com/hyperfocuspods. We'd really appreciate it. And that is something that you would never, ever feel ashamed about. Ever. And with that, bye.
And now, folks, it's time to say goodnight. We sincerely appreciate your patronage and hope we've succeeded in bringing you an enjoyable evening of entertainment. Please drive home carefully and come back again soon. Good night.